to the Belfast Men's Health Group podcast with myself, Paul O'Kane, and Paul Doran. Paul was diagnosed with head and neck cancer, and today he's going to tell us a wee bit about his journey from diagnosis to treatment and recovery, of course. So, Paul, thanks very much for coming in and agreeing to do our wee podcast. You're very welcome.
Thank you, Paul.
Not at all. And I suppose our first question is, how are you today? How are you doing?
I'm doing very well today. It's a nice, bright autumnal day and delighted to be here. So, no, I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Good man. So, tell us a wee bit about when and how did you discover that you had cancer?
Yeah.
God bless us.
That's probably 2 years almost to the day, October 21. I was going to a football match with a couple of friends, one of whom's a doctor. And I had a bit of a lump in my neck. And I just mentioned it to him and said, look, I've got a lot of glands around my neck. I don't think it's any big deal. But he said, no, you should get that seen too. Mm-hmm. So on the back of that, I made an appointment with my GP probably last week in October. She again said, I don't think it's anything to worry about, but, you know, I'll put you through to the consultant in the city hospital. So saw the consultant about 10 days later. It was a head and neck, ENT, ear, nose and throat consultant. Yeah. She again was reassuring, but said, look, I better get maybe a wee bit closer look at this. And she referred me on for a CT scan, biopsy and so on. So with every single scan I was getting during November, Paul, I kept thinking they'll say, you know, that's fine, away you go. There's no history of cancer in my family. I've never had cancer. You know, all the sort of risk factors that are around, I don't really...
categories. You know, it's coming to my mind, smoking. Would you smoke?
Don't smoke. I've never smoked. Don't drink much now. Probably in my younger days, drank a wee bit, but not a huge amount. Yeah. You know, no other sort of behaviours that would lead you into maybe cancer.
Yep.
I'm not carrying a lot of weight, mm-hmm. etc. So I didn't think it was cancer, but I was beginning to get a bit more worried. And then into December 21, on the 7th of December, I got a phone call because that was during Omicron of COVID. You know, COVID was pretty rough then.
Yep.
So the consultant apologised, a different consultant, she apologised for ringing me rather than seeing me in person and said to me, I'm sorry to tell you, you've got cancer.
My goodness.
And I was in my office at work. It was 8:30 in the morning. The wind was howling. It was Storm Barra that day. It was the worst day of the winter.
That's right.
And it really was for me too. So I was a bit shocked and I thought, from talking to people, it might have been Hodgkin's lymphoma or non-lymphoma or whatever.
Yeah.
And she said, no, we think it might be head and neck cancer. And I had never heard of head and neck cancer, so that was a bit of a shock for me. And then sort of a bit of a blur the rest of that day, you know.
Well, what was sort of the time between you? I suppose, what size was the lump?
The lump was about the size of a 2p, you know, in my neck. Now, I have got sore throats from time to time. I do get used to get sore throats, and that's why I didn't really think it was anything to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
But you would have noticed it okay, but I didn't think it was anything to worry about, and I did probably delay a wee bit going to the doctor, Paul, I have to say, and you were asking me about messages and so on. I certainly think that would be one message. You know, we know our bodies best.
Yes.
And if there's something that's not right,
yeah,
you know, go to the doctor,
uh-huh.
because the doctors want to see you. You know, don't be worried about all the pressure in the NHS.
Yeah.
Early intervention is critical.
Yeah. So it was we talk about, you know, checking yourself for testicular cancer and women check their breasts for breast cancer. But were you, I can see that you're clean shaven.
Yeah.
Could you see when you were having a shave, would you have noticed it? Would you have noticed this lump?
I would have noticed it. And also then my partner, wife, said to me, you're losing a bit of weight.
Right.
But I sort of put that down to, I was a wee bit worried about what this might be. It didn't make the link at all. But then when I got the diagnosis, of course, you're thinking back, maybe I should have taken action earlier. But what I did, and what I didn't do, I didn't do. So that was that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have two children who are adults, and both of them live away from home. They were due to come home at Christmas then, and that was Christmas 21. And with Omicron and COVID being so bad at that time, there was a whole question of whether they could come home, because I was due to get then a tonsillectomy in early January.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd warned me that if I got COVID, I wouldn't be able to go ahead with that.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously there was a lot of pressure in the NHS at the time. So to be fair to my children, they're adults now, you know, they were very good over Christmas. They didn't go out at night. They didn't run the risk of me getting COVID.
Yeah.
I suppose that's the other message, you know. Mm. I know not everybody does have a partner or does have children or may not have close family around them. But you do really depend on them in those situations, Paul. You know, family support, whether it's brothers or sisters, whether it's friends. I would always say to somebody, you know, talk to people. It's a bit of a lonely place when you get that diagnosis.
And then, so you've got the diagnosis, and then I suppose the treatment. What was how was that, and what was that like?
Well, after the tonsillectomy, which was the 11th of January in 22, I started my treatment then the 7th of February. And it was here in the city hospital in the radiotherapy department. I had 30 consecutive days of high dosage radiotherapy on my mouth and on my neck. The primaries were in my mouth. The secondaries were the lump on the neck. And then also during that 30 days, I got every Friday a full day's chemo, also here in the city.
Yes.
And I have to say, the staff that work in those units are fantastic. They go in there every day. This is again during COVID. They do their job in such a professional way. And I'm sure you know, Paul, the radiotherapy department. What I couldn't get over was the amount of people passing through.
Yeah.
First day I went in there, like I think there's maybe 250, 300 people every day passing through that radiotherapy department. There's 20 odd machines.
Oh, very busy. Yep.
Going a dinger.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, as every day went past, I got to know them more and saw how hard they worked and how dedicated they were. And you were in awe of them. But equally, every day that went past, as it came up to the 30th day, the more sort of, you know, side effects of the radiotherapy because it was such high dosage. And it was very tough to take food in. And they had warned me that I might need to have a tube fitted and I might need to have to go into inpatient care. You know, I have a very supportive partner. I have some very good friends. If you believe in the power of prayer, a lot of people praying for me as well, which was very welcome too. And with all of that, I got through the 30 days and I cycled every day, Paul, to the radiotherapy. I wasn't allowed to cycle on the days of the chemo.
Yes.
But like some days you'd be in the chemo, maybe it wouldn't always go just as smoothly as you would hope for various reasons. My body was able to stick it. I know not everybody can handle that. But, you know, one day I remember the wind was howling again. It was February 22, came out of a full day's chemo, and then I had to come down and wait for the radiotherapy. And like the staff there had held on till I came down from the chemo. This was on a Friday night, about 7 o'clock, wind howling, dark, rain, the whole works. And they were staying on there to give me my chemo. So, you know, fantastic. It really is a team effort to fight cancer.
And if you don't mind me asking, what age were you?
I was 59 when I was diagnosed. So, you know, a young man, Paul. I, as I said, look after myself. I played football, I ran, I swim. I don't carry a lot of weight. And one thing in recent years has been very important to me, which I know is important to you, is parkrun.
Yes.
And during those treatment days, and particularly when I was getting the chemo, I thought a lot about parkrun, and I really painted a picture in my mind about getting back to do parkrun. So it wasn't just recovering from cancer. I wanted to get back into parkrun. And the doctors and the nurses and all the medics and the multidisciplinary team had said to me, this treatment's tough. I think brutal is the word they used. But if you can get through it, the outcomes are good. So that gave me real hope, which I think is really important for people who have cancer as well.
Yeah.
Because it is a really tough time for you, but also for your family. And with the hope, I had this vision in my mind of going round the last corner in the Ormo Park Run.
Oh, yeah.
And doing the last 100 metres. And I also thought about one of my friends from Park Run, and is a well-known woman called Grace, who's a good age, not give any figures out. Grace is the most resilient person I know. And at the start of COVID, she had a fall and she had to get a hip replaced, yet she got back into parkrun. She wasn't going to let that, you know, set her back. And she told me that she, in her mind, when she was getting the treatment for her hip replacement, was thinking about parkrun. So that stuck with me somewhere. So I was thinking, right, I'm getting cancer treatment. I want to get back into parkrun. Now, I finished my treatment in the 18th of March. And the next month was tough, I have to admit it. Really tough because you think when the treatment finishes and you ring the bell that, you know, you're sort of on the home straight, but actually, because of the side effects of radiotherapy and the radiotherapy still in your body, as you probably know, it actually gets probably worse. Mm-hmm. Very hard to get food and nutrition into me. I lost a fair bit of weight. Mm-hmm. And of course, in the middle of that, when you asked about ages, my better half, Angela, had on the 26th of March, a significant birthday last year.
Yeah,
yeah. And that was probably my worst day. So she was stuck on her big day with me, a complete mess, wasn't able to take food. It was really, really tough.
Yeah.
And mentally, that was a tough day. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we got through that. And then in June, when I was coming to the significant age of 60 on the 26th of June, the very next day, went in to see my consultant, Gillian Gray, in the Royal. And she just put her two thumbs to say that got the results and that there was a full metabolic response to the treatment.
Brilliant.
So I know I was lucky. I know not everybody else gets that good news. And I'm very aware of that.
Yep.
And everybody has different journeys. And my journey will have unique journeys in life. But that was a very good day, 27th of June last year.
So now, from the 27th of June last year, and we're now here in October 24. How's things? So where are you on the journey now?
I'm still on the journey. Yeah. From you get the good news, it's the consultants, and you're still going to see people for another 5 years.
Right.
I think that's across most cancers, but certainly in head and neck cancer. So I go every week, 8 weeks at the moment, up to the Royal, get a full check out, and thankfully, thank God, touch wood, it's been all good news. But also around that time, just by coincidence, Paul, because I know you're a runner as well. Mm-hmm. Every year, myself and my running partner, Marty, put in for the London Marathon, and we've never got it. And would you believe that last year it came up? My number came up in the ballot.
Yeah, very good.
So I spoke to Gillian and asked her, the consultant, do you think I'd be fit to do it? It's April 23. Mm-hmm. So that was 7 months from I got the good news. Well, no, sorry, a bit more, but 10 months from the good news.
Yeah.
And she said, Paul, why not? And I also asked her then, well, look, is there a charity you would recommend and maybe try and raise a few pounds for it? And she said the Friends of the Cancer Centre, mm-hmm. who I know you know all about as well, Paul.
Yep.
So I got in touch with the Friends of the Cancer Centre. I did my training all during the winter. And that, again, helped. That was a positive thing too, because it was important for me to do that on the sort of rehabilitation stage. Mm-hmm. So the 23rd of April this year, 23, I did the London Marathon and raised a good bit of money for Friends of the Cancer Centre. But that was a fantastic day. Now, a real sense of achievement when I got through that. Again, I know there's a lot of people wouldn't be able to be anywhere near that, particularly so soon after treatment. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I suppose, it shows that, you know, you can do these things, but everybody has their own individual journey. So for somebody that maybe to go for a walk in the park, and that's 100% for them.
Mm-hmm. No, without a doubt, I mean, running a marathon is extremely difficult. But running a marathon, having had cancer, I don't know how you did it. Fair play to you. It's amazing. It's a cracker achievement, without a doubt.
And there's another wee twist to it too, in that because, as I said, I missed Angela's 60th birthday back in 2022, mm-hmm. because I wasn't very well at all that day, I'd said to her, I'd try and make it up to her. So we both listened to Johnny Walker on Radio 2 on a Sunday. He does Sounds of the 70s.
Yep.
And every week he does, Johnny's Jukebox, and he picks a record that somebody rings in with their story. So for this year, on the 26th of March this year, I put a request in for Angela for our song, which is Moondance by Van Morrison. And that's why I mentioned to you in the email, right?
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So his producer came back and said, yeah, and I told him the story that last year, unfortunately, on the big day, I wasn't fit to do anything, and Angela had to sort of celebrate herself. But anyway, this is, and give a wee bit of a backdrop to our backstory. Mm-hmm. So they said, right, we'll do it ahead. We'll go ahead on the 26th of March this year. And then we listened on that day, and it didn't happen. And we're a bit disappointed, but look, more important things in life, so move on. But the next day, I got an email from the producer saying, terribly sorry, we made an awful mistake, but we'll actually make it up for you. We'll do it in a few weeks' time. What about if we do it on the 23rd of April? And I said, well, actually, I'm running the London Marathon that day.
Right.
And the woman couldn't believe that, the producer. So she told Johnny Walker, and lo and behold, on the day that I was doing the marathon, He read out my story, because he read out your, you know, wee 1 minute clip.
Yep, yep.
And then he played Van Morrison Moondance. So that was a good day as well.
Cracker. Yeah. That was class. Ah, fair play to you. Very good. So it all worked out in the end.
So far, Paul, yes. you know, you never take your eye off the ball when mm-hmm. you're in recovery, and I do pay attention now to any lumps in the neck or anything that's not, doesn't feel right. And I've had a couple of friends who unfortunately have had diagnosis. Mm-hmm. So I've been talking to them, and I am delighted to be here, because if I would give one message to people listening in, men or women, you know, if you're concerned about something, speak to your doctor. The health service is magnificent. NHS mm-hmm. are fantastic. There's so many good people out there who want to see you do well.
Yep.
Who want to be part of your success story. So mm-hmm. I really feel it's important that people do that. Mm-hmm. And if they do get the bad news, there is still hope. There's a lot of people still there working for you. And the importance, I think, of having something to focus on and to visualise. And for me, it was the park run.
Yeah.
The marathon was sort of like icing on the cake, but just getting back. And the day I did the first park run, you know, in Normal Park, a lot of the boys and women that I know, you know, they clapped me over the line. I didn't say much about it, but they knew it was the first day back, and knew it was important to me. And even though it was a rubbish time, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
You were there. No, yeah. You're. It's park run is brilliant.
Yeah.
For not just running, but just for everything, for every part of health, whether it's physical health, mental health, whatever, friendship, socialising, it's absolutely magnificent. No, I absolutely agree. And you talked about a wee bit about early detection, Paul. And I think that's an important message to get out to our listeners, is if you feel a lump or a bump, and you said it, no one knows your body better than you. And if there's any wee thing that's there and has been there for a couple of weeks or more, do please get it checked out.
100%, 100%. Yep. Because, you know, everybody wants you to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
People want to be part of the success story. And one of the phrases that a friend of mine said to me about the world of cancer is, delay is the enemy of success. So delay is the enemy of success, be it in you going to your doctor, mm-hmm. be it in the treatment. The sooner you can get it, that's why there are targets.
Yep.
And I know it's tough to make the targets, particularly in the crisis we have at the moment in the health service, but everybody wants to see you get better.
Yep. Oh, without a doubt. And I think you've answered sort of my next question, which is, but what do you do for fun, or what makes you happy? And I know running is definitely in there. What else?
Well, I'm involved in some voluntary work. Mm-hmm. The South Belfast Food Bank, great crowd. When I got the treatment, I was still working, Paul. I went back to work. Luckily, I went back to work because I had great support from my boss, my colleagues, some former colleagues.
Yeah.
I worked for the probation service for many years, then I was seconded in the Department of Justice, prison service.
Yep, yep.
So colleagues there were fantastic for me. They stood by me.
Yeah.
I went back to work, and I retired in September last year. So I'm just retired a year.
Yeah.
But I have been working. You know, I wasn't sick retirement, so I've been doing some part-time work. Mm-hmm. I do some voluntary work. I've also got involved with people you know, with the Head and Neck Cancer Research Group, because I'm delighted to be here to share my story. And if I can do anything to help anybody else who's going on the same sort of journey that I went on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm involved with the research network. I'm also involved with Visit Belfast for doing a bit of like for the tourists coming in. And I also involve my local Gaelic football team. I'm there to do the stats analysis of that as well. The season's over now, but
right.
So plenty to get me through the days, Paul.
I've added on to some of the questions here. I was about to say, has cancer changed your outlook in life?
Yes.
And I can see that you did say that you didn't medically retire. You retired sort of naturally or organically or whatever. Yeah. But did cancer sort of?
It was definitely a factor in my decision. Again, another friend of mine, a woman who does great work up in Hyde Bank with the women prisoners, sister in it, told me that she had a phrase from a saint called St. Philip Neri, find joy in every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I try to live my life now, you know, in terrible times at the moment in Gaza and Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to try and find joy every day. So my life has changed.
Yes.
Every day I wake up, I'm grateful for life, first of all, for my wife Angela, for my children Gabriel and Lucy, for my friends, colleagues, part run colleagues.
Oh yes,
And people who stood by me whenever I had tough times. So, you know, find joy in every day, and an attitude of gratitude those things are very important.
Yep. And I think we could leave it at that. There's no better way to finish our podcast than those words, Paul. And it just remains for me to say thanks very much. And you're in person. We started doing these things, Brian, when we were during COVID, where we had to phone people and all the rest of it. But now to see you in person, and you're looking well, so fair play to you. And thanks very much.
Thank you, Paul, and thank you, Brian.